Saving money on your next project now at Menards. Menards is the leading supplier of quality roof and floor trusses. Choose from our large selection of residential and post-frame trusses or design custom trusses specifically for your project. Get started on your building project today, in-store or on Menards.com. Plus, view our weekly flyer for all the great deals happening now. Save big money
at Menards. I auditioned when Hudson was 10 weeks old. And I remember...
No way.
I came home from the hospital when I had him and I was just alone. And Caden was 18 months old and was... you know, autistic that I didn't know yet, but just, he never, just really challenging, really challenging.
Right.
And at that time I had been kicked off worship team because I was going through a divorce and that's not very Christian. So my mom lived down the street from me, but I remember coming home from the hospital and setting the car seat down and just like sitting against the wall and sobbing. I was like, how am I going to do this? Like, this is crazy. Yeah. I don't have a job.
Two little kids.
I have a singing. I have this sweet boy that's neurodivergent now I know, and a brand new baby.
Our guest today calls herself the Queen of Trash Day. She is a singer-songwriter, a TikTok favorite, a two-time American Idol alum. But more importantly to us, she is a mom just trying to survive the chaos like the rest of us. Welcome to Talk to Me, Sis, Brittany Kellogg.
Yay.
Welcome,
Hello, Brittany.
Yay. Thank you for so much for being here today. And despite, like, again, we're going to get into being a mom and curveballs and chaos.
Yeah.
You had some this morning.
I did. My daughter, she's 8 years old and just not feeling well and could not peel her feverish self off of me to
of course
on our podcast in time. So we had to push it back a little bit because, you know, mom life. Yeah.
That's right. Well, we understand that. So, yes. So I just want to get a little backstory. Nikki and I have been out here in the world for a little bit with our sons. You know, it's been tough. It's been tough being out here with some of the stuff that comes across online and stuff. And not to jump into, but just how I found you is, I don't know, algorithms. My phone was listening to me, but I came across your page with Trash Tuesday.
Charles, my guy. Charles said, stop by just to say I'm 39, but ew, not much worse than a Karen on vodka. Barf emoji. First things first, Charlie. Yeah, it says Charles here, but looks like you go by Charlie because I see that you own a lawn care company called Charlie's Lawn Care in Tennessee. Hey, Charlie, the name's Brittany. Oh, but you already know that, don't you? Because I took a little stroll in the freshly mowed grass over to your page and went to your top fan section. Would you look at that? You're one of my top fans. Call them the Trash Day Tribe. Right next to that, your top fan badge for Turner Street Baptist Church. So that's awkward, but not surprising. So you're my top fan, but I'm barf emoji? That's like saying you love Costco and then being pissed off that everything's in bulk.
You have helped me more than you know.
Truly.
Just
you really have.
Watching how you handle that with, number one, I do not want to be on your bad side.
Right.
Noted.
There will only be kind comments coming from me.
Never going to mess with Brittany Kellogg, ever.
Don't do it. Don't do it.
Oh, I was like, this girl's for real. But
for
just
real.
The way you handled it, you really have helped me. And after about a month or so of following you, you know, I've noticed my little Teflon shield went up a little bit. So I thank you for that, really, genuinely.
Oh, I'm so grateful.
Me too.
It's funny, like, I didn't start Trash Day to help other creators or other moms that like are going through the same thing. But I've had messages from like large creators, like you guys, Caitlin Bristow reached out to me. I was like, thank you for like making me feel seen. And I didn't even realize that that's part of what this would do. And I'm just really grateful. Really grateful.
Oh. And you're genius, I think.
You personally. Really are. You're a creative genius. And you make it fun and funny, but you get your point across. Your research skills, which we want to get into more in depth later, are top tier. So,
but what's funny too is I'm like why didn't I think of that? It's like the, you're one of those things where you're like, that's so smart.
Yes.
Thank you.
What was the thing? Or was there a particular comment or just a bad day? Like, what did trip your creative brain into starting Trash Tuesdays?
Gosh, like, so Trash Day initially wasn't even really like Trash Day. It was, I was living in Washington State at the time, born and raised there. We just moved to Arizona 3 years ago for my husband's job. But one day I was like, you know, you guys know as content creators, like you're constantly trying to like, what should I post today? Like it's a kind of a constant battle, really. It's challenging. It's hard
work. It is.
Like sometimes your just brain isn't braining. And so you just don't know what to post. And so this day I was like, I just released my song, Hey Mama, for all the moms out there. And I was like, gosh, like, you know, being a mom, it's really challenging. And part of that is taking out the trash and like mundane things that like, I don't know, like I wanted to connect with like women moms on a level of like, yes, I'm a country singer, songwriter. I travel the world singing my music, but like I do things like you do every day. And so I like drug my trash can to the curb singing my song, Hey Mama. So that was like the first time I had ever done like taking my trash out. And it was basically just like to kind of like level with my followers. And then fast forward, I only did it like a few times over a handful of years. Like I would take out the trash and just like there'd be a comment that I would respond to, like a moment of encouragement or something. And then fast forward to a couple years ago, I took my son to a Taylor Swift concert, my 16-year-old, he was 14 at the time, and posted a video of him literally like seeing her for the first time. He was like the most massive Swiftie you could have ever imagined and had like watched the Eras tour every single night live, literally every night he would watch it. So he knew exactly what was going to happen.
Her set list and everything.
Yes, like, okay, this song is next. And that means like she's coming out after that. Like he knew exactly. So the minute we walked into the arena, we were in New Orleans. And the minute we walked in, like he just instantly started crying. Mm-hmm. And I remember feeling that, like for me, it was Reba McEntire. Like the first time she came out, I like lost it and was crying. Right. So I videoed the moment that she actually came out. And it was really, for me, it was so beautiful because he is a dancer. He is very feminine. And he just exudes confidence and like 100% authentically himself. And I have always loved that about him and celebrated that. And so I loved like catching this moment on camera, especially like being an artist, seeing an artist do something like that for my
kids. Like, just a pure passionate moment for in his life that he was enjoying.
And the hate comments were, I mean,
Brittany.
As a mom, it was the first time I'd ever like really experienced something.
Dealt with it. Mm-hmm.
Like gut-wrenching. Like he was receiving death threats in his DMs. And that's kind of when the like sleuthing started. Because a lot of these people were young kids. And so I would like find their football coach and message them and be like, do you know what your teammate is doing to other kiddos?
Yeah. Right.
And it did end up like I had a lot of kids like actually reach out and apologize and say like,
good.
Real, you know, like, so that's kind of where like the sleuthing part started. And then I was like, we should take the trash to the curb with one of those comments with the two of us and sing a Taylor Swift song. Cause you know, she has all the songs about the haters. And so that's kind of where the taking out the trash with the hate started. And then to be honest, I'm not really sure where the, like when the shift was like the tequila, the red vine straw,
right?
It just has kind of evolved.
Like the dumpster mug.
Yeah.
Okay, so that started, a fan brought that to me at a show.
Love it.
And actually, it's hysterical because that specific show was in Boise, Idaho. And she brought it to me like in the merch line and it was like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. Like I'm going to start using this for my cup. And then actually another autistic kiddo that has him and his family have followed me for a long time. He brought me a big bucket of red vines. Somebody actually came up to me in the merch line and they were like, okay, I actually bought these tickets thinking I was coming to see a comedian. Not a country singer. And I was like, that's hilarious. Like, so they showed up from trash day. But
that's amazing. That's so cool.
Yeah, it's really evolved. And actually at one point I was going to stop doing it, probably like 8 months ago, because I did have someone like have their attorney reach out to me about like defamation. Mm-hmm. And there was actually a pastor that had done a video about Hudson that was horrific. He's a pastor and basically like—
Wait, a pastor did a video about your son?
He did. And luckily Hudson is really aware of not reading comments or not watching the video. So he actually never saw the video. That was his choice to not watch it, but it was awful. This pastor was basically saying that I feminized my son, that I clearly stole custody from their dad and have turned him into this person who's going to hurt himself or someone else someday, and it will happen. Like, it was just this wild
fabricated. Yeah.
100. It was just crazy. So that I kind of had a pause and was like, okay, like, is trash day really doing like
what you wanted to do? Yeah,
exactly. Mm-hmm. And this was before the dumpster mug, before the bread vines. Like, this was pre that. And then I just was like, you know what? I'm going to do it, but I'm going to start blocking out people's names. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to really make it much more of like a conversation with this person and try to like shed light on like the oxymoron of their comment versus what they're posting or what
right.
they're living. And then it just kind of started to go crazy viral. And I did realize at that point, like, it was doing what I wanted it to do. And it was really shedding a light on what we see. And as moms, as you guys know, the hate that our beautiful, unique, incredible kiddos receive on a daily basis needs to be shared, and their faces need to be shown, because it's really like they need
it's to uncalled for. Yeah.
Well, I can tell you, even you just helped me personally. You really helped me. You really helped me flip the script in my mind.
Yes. And just realize you don't have to take it. And like, you know, you don't have to absorb it either. You don't have to believe what these mean people say. But okay, so Brittany, tell us about your son. At what age and at what point did you realize that development was maybe going down a little bit of a different path? It is Hudson, correct?
It's Caden, my oldest.
Caden is neurodivergent. Okay, Hudson is the second one. Okay.
Hudson is the dancer, Taylor Swiftie.
Yep.
This is probably going to be an emotional conversation.
You're fine. We've cried multiple times on this podcast.
So Caden, honestly, very early on, noticed a lot of like concerning behaviors. Now it's like, it's not concerning. They were just, for me, I was a very young mom. I was 23 when I had him and did not have a supportive husband at all. And there was a lot of like turmoil in the home, a lot of arguing, a lot of unfortunately really sad things. Like, he would take him from me and lock himself in the closet with him and refuse to let me nurse him. So like a lot of like things that I also think have contributed to just like part of his story. But like, he would bite his crib. The crib was white, and by the time we got rid of the crib, it was down to the wood, because he would like just bite all the paint off. He never slept. He had a really hard time sleeping unless I was like patting his bottom. Like, just like very, you couldn't really settle him. He was very colicky as a baby. And as a new mom, I just thought like, this is normal. I just have like a colicky baby. And then as he got older, he started doing the, like, when he would run with his hands behind his back and like turn his head. He did the flappy bird, like, got excited, couldn't really look me in the eyes. And then when he was just turned 3, his dad had him at a gym that had like a track on the top. I don't know if you guys have seen those. Where like,
like a YMCA with the track on top and the basketball courts under or something.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And his dad's a basketball coach, still is to this day, and wasn't watching Caden. And he fell from the top floor onto tile floor on his face.
Oh, my God.
And he had his binky in his mouth, and his doctor was like, we think the binky saved his life.
Oh, my God, Brittany.
Shortly after that, he started having, like, what they were telling me were tics. So, like,
okay,
he would kind of just look at me and kind of his eyes would kind of roll back in his head. And at the time, I was dating a guy. His dad was a doctor. And he was like, those aren't tics. Those are seizures. Like, you need to have him looked at. And his doctor just kept refusing to do the EEG. So I moved to actually my pediatrician when I was a kid. He was still practicing, about to retire. And he was like, I also think they're tics, but I trust your mom instinct. Let's do an EEG.
What a good doctor. Wait, stop. Yes. Thank you.
Wow. Yeah. I know. I'm impressed that an older doctor would do that.
Granola. Yeah. Like, very careful with like vaccines and like all that. Yeah. Just really, a really, really good doctor. But he agreed to do the EEG. And one of the like things that tipped him off about having him tested for autism was you're not supposed to, they can't, they're supposed to like be awake like all night. And so mm-hmm. when you do the EEG, they go to sleep. Well, so I kept him awake all night and he didn't ever go to sleep during the EEG because there were cords and things like all over the place. And he just could not, like his brain was like firing like there's cords, there's cables, this is cool. What's happening? Like he couldn't settle.
Yeah.
And he had, they stopped counting at 10 seizures in 45 minutes.
Mm.
At that point he was diagnosed with epilepsy.
Sure.
And then that's when they were like, okay, well, all of these other symptoms, we want to start doing some testing for autism. And as you guys know, like back then, like it was really hard.
Yes. We've like, talked about this.
Long waiting list to get any sort of answers. And they ended up diagnosing him actually. And back then, you probably know this as well. He was diagnosed with Asperger's.
So yes. Ours were too. Yeah. Yes.
And so now they don't even diagnose that anymore. I think it's just, you know, they're,
or level one.
I don't even know. But yes, so he was diagnosed with Asperger's at that time. And honestly, it's been a really long road because his dad basically doesn't think that autism is real. He thinks it's a mental disorder that can be fixed.
Oh, wow, Brittany.
And so it's been a challenge for therapy. And when he would go to his dad's, there were just
constant. No follow through. Right.
And like things that, once both of my boys are graduated, I plan on writing a book about.
You need to.
Just a lot of like damaging behavior that like really kept him from flourishing and from like being able to be his authentic self and have the care that he really needed.
Is Caden, does he live with you now?
He does. Yeah. He just graduated high school. He graduated and it's like, it's this, time between graduation and what are we going to do?
The next step.
We call it the cliff. You're standing on the cliff.
Yeah. It's so challenging because like, he finally can take a breath. He's working at a grocery store and he loves it. But like,
he sounds like Connor.
Yeah. I was like, Connor worked at a grocery store for a long time.
I love both of your boys so much. And I have to say, Connor reminds me so much of Caden. It is.
I bet. Great. Sounds like it.
His just like light for life and people and just the sweetest, happiest kiddo.
Aww.
And Connor was like really smart and very intelligent and extremely smart in his special interests. But school, when he graduated, he straight up said, I do not want to go to college. I don't. And then we were like, well, what do we do now? You know, we knew he was very smart, but we just didn't know where he was going to land. But he was really, really having a very happy, quality filled life working. He was like part time, like 35 hours a week at the grocery store or 30 hours a week.
Yeah.
Until our life flipped on its head. But, you know.
Yeah.
But I want to hear more about your kids and everything else. But we were really curious. We always kind of do this. And I know we jumped right in, but Brittany, before your first husband, before Caden and your first baby, your children, tell us about Brittany before in Washington State.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's honestly very full circle for the trash day thing. I was very annoying. I was that girl, and it was so funny. I'm very lucky. I have two of my best friends. We've been best friends since first grade, and we're still, we talk every single day and spend a lot of time together. They live in Washington still, but they always stood up for me and were so good to me because I was that little girl that just wanted to be a singer, and that's all I wanted to do. I went to a Johnny Cash and June Carter Cash concert when I was 6 years old and got to see both of them. It was my first concert. And it was
like, my gosh, that's iconic.
That is iconic.
Completely life-changing. I looked at my grandma and I said, like, that's what I want to do. And
that's it. Me.
And I just instantly started taking voice lessons a couple years later, started doing talent shows and pageants and doing anything I could to be on stage. And that just led to this little girl that really, truly, I got bullied so much, but it didn't ever keep me from being who I was. I just was that girl that was loud and annoying and loved to sing everywhere I went and wore pink every single day. And
I love that they didn't break you. I like that.
I was just thinking that obviously you're strong.
It was really like, I look back and like I cried every single day and, but it really never like you said, like it never changed who I was. Like I never, I really don't know how. I guess there was just like this like strong individual in there that like knew that this was the path I was going to take and I didn't care what they thought. And then in high school, I went to Nashville. I was Miss Teen Washington. And went to Nashville for Miss Teen America and ended up staying an additional week to like see what Nashville was all about. My plan was to move there immediately after graduating high school. And then I fell in love with my high school sweetheart and decided to pursue his dreams instead of mine. And it kind of derailed
everything for a while.
I had hoped to do for my life. But
It sounds like you made it happen though.
I did. I never let it keep me from doing it.
Okay. So you get married shortly after high school, have Caden.
Yep.
And then at what point did you bring the music back in?
When I was pregnant with Caden, I was singing at church on worship team. I was very, very religious in my younger years.
Yeah.
And pregnant with Caden and was singing at church. And this gentleman came up to me and said, I have this band. It's a 12-piece dance and show band. We do like 60s, 70s, and 80s music. And I'd love for you to sub some shows. I was big pregnant. And so I started singing with this dance and show band. And it was like life-changing for me. It was...
I love it.
I was singing at like, you know, big events and nightclubs and like singing, you know, Thelma Houston and like... just 60s, 70s music.
I mean, that's like my jam, totally.
No, that's so fun. I would love to have heard it.
I know. And we were like, there was three girls. We all wore matching outfits. We did dance.
Did you get to do like this kind of stuff?
Totally. And like the like, you know, move and snap kind of like, it was like.
Oh my, like Temptation stuff?
Like all of it.
Can I be a backup dancer?
Yes. I love it. RESPECT, like all that. Like it was. And I honestly feel like it like brought me back to like, okay, this is
Brittany. Yeah.
What I want to do. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I was pregnant with Caden and had Caden continued to do my music, but my husband and I were so, I mean, our marriage was, we were so young and he just was a lot of
volatile,
a lot of cheating and
wasn't going. Yeah.
Pregnant with my second. Continued to sing, found out he was cheating again when I was 3 months pregnant with Hudson. And because of what I went through with Caden and what I genuinely felt like, it did lead to some of his, you know, I don't even want to call them issues, but like just some of the things he had to go through. I was like, I'm not putting another baby in utero through this.
Yeah.
So I was actually on worship team one Saturday. My sister was living with me. My grandma was sick. And got home from worship team and the locks were changed. His stuff was all packed in the garage. All the pictures were taken down. And she was like, we're done. You're not doing this anymore. And ever would have like, I mean, I'm sure I would have, but like just like not having to do the hard things, you know, like being in the all of that. And I never looked back. I filed for divorce shortly after and just really started at that point. Actually, I auditioned when Hudson was like 10 weeks old. And I remember.
No way.
I came home from the hospital when I had him and I was just alone. And Caden was 18 months old and was, you know, autistic that I didn't know yet, but just he never. Just really challenging, really challenging.
Right.
And at that time, I had been kicked off worship team because I was going through a divorce and that's not very Christian. So I. My mom lived down the street from me, but I remember coming home from the hospital and setting the car seat down and just like sitting against the wall and sobbing. I was like, how am I going to do this? Like, this is crazy. Yeah. I don't have a job.
Two little kids.
I have the singing. I have this sweet boy that's neurodivergent. Now I know. And a brand new baby. And when he was 10 weeks old, there was this competition for a Sing Like Taylor Swift contest. And I don't sound anything like her, but I was like, I really want to be a country singer. And so I auditioned and ended up winning the whole thing.
Maybe Hudson was listening.
Yes.
Honestly, maybe. But ended up going to Nashville and getting to spend the day with Taylor. And
shut up. Okay. Yeah. How was that?
Amazing. She's just as you would expect. She's wonderful.
Oh, I love that.
Grit by the end of the day. Like, I have a signed guitar that she signed for me and it's hanging in Hudson's room.
Were you at the wedding?
That's amazing.
That's kind of what like really, just
like gave you the,
my career back. And so then I started traveling to Nashville monthly and just started fighting. And then American Idol happened. And just,
so yeah. How did American Idol?
Tell us that story. How did American Idol come into it?
Well, I auditioned for the first time when I was living in Oklahoma. My ex-husband's dad flew there. He's a wonderful, wonderful man. And he flew there and drove with me to New Orleans, which is weird that it's so full circle because that's where I did Taylor Swift. But auditioned, it was Carrie Underwood's season. And back then they did what they called cattle calls. So you would like wait overnight in line to get a spot in line to audition. And then you'd go back the next day and they would file you in four at a time in front of the producer's table.
Yes.
Thing for 5 seconds. And then they'd be like, thank you. No, thank you. Have a nice day. And I sang Natural Woman and they were like, no, thank you. Have a nice day. And that was it. So that was like the first time that I had auditioned. And then I auditioned again in Seattle. Same thing, didn't make it. And then when I was pregnant with Hudson, I auditioned when I was 8 months pregnant.
And
they literally said to me, like, we would love to put you through, but like the way that this process works, like you're going to be having a baby when like things are happening. So come back. And so I did. They came to Portland, Oregon, and I auditioned and ended up making it through all the way past Hollywood to the top 40 that year.
Oh my gosh.
Was that season, that season 12?
Season 11. That was J-Lo, Steven Tyler, and Randy. And
oh my God. Okay. Tell us about them.
They like came to my house that year. They did a whole thing on me and the boys. Like I was one of the featured,
like storylines. Yeah.
Yeah. And, it was just really awesome. I sang, and it's funny that the storyline was what it was because it was very much edited. I ended up like talking about my ex-husband and the fact that he was unfaithful to J-Lo, and we kind of had like a connection because Mark Anthony was unfaithful to her while she was pregnant with the twins. And just that whole season, like she would come and find me and make sure I was okay and make sure like how are the kids and are the boys doing okay? And like, she was just wonderful. And so then I went back the next year and that was Keith Urban, and Mariah Carey and Nicki Minaj and Randy. And it was a mess.
Really?
I was like, please send me home. I don't want to do this anymore. It was
just chaos.
Chaos, political, like, not about the singing back then. I feel like now it has changed so much and it is so much more about the singing.
So was American Idol what kind of catapulted you to a bigger presence on social media, I'm sure?
That catapulted me into like a bigger audience, absolutely, for sure. But I think the social media thing came from COVID, when TikTok was kind of just starting. And Hudson is a dancer and wanted to get TikTok. And at the time he was like 2020, I don't know, he was like 10 or something. And I was like, no, like absolutely not.
Right.
You're not having this social media app at 10 years old. And he looks begging me because he wanted to do all these dances. So I was like, fine.
All the little TikTok dances. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It was like when like Savage Love and like.
Right.
Savage Love. It's love.
Yeah.
So it was during like the total shutdown. We were living in Washington State. We couldn't leave our house unless we were going to the grocery store or the doctor's office. Like you'd get pulled over and get arrested. It was crazy. And so we were at our house and I was like, fine, I will get a TikTok. I will let you get a TikTok. It will be under my name. And
right. So you can watch. Yeah.
Yeah. So I was like, might as well start posting. And at that point I made like a commitment to post every single day for 90 days. And on the 89th day, like I had like 700 followers and I was like, cool. I think like this is not going so well. And on the 90th, it was crazy. On the 90th day, it had snowed where we lived. It was like, it was Valentine's Day. And I posted my song, Back of My Mind, that I wrote.
Back of My Mind.
For my husband's new lover, who's now his wife. And we were like sledding and I checked my TikTok and it was like thousands and thousands, like just growing. I'm sure you guys have had those experiences.
Really. Yeah.
Yeah. That is weird.
It's
when you
crazy,
refresh
it
and it's like, wait, what?
What?
Yeah. And I was like, something's happening. Something's happening. And it ended up just like that was kind of the beginning of the growth on social media. And then it kind of like plateaued a little bit. And then since Trash Day started, it's really, and the
really took off again. I love that. That is so cool. Where'd you go after Idol with your music?
So after Idol, my first EP I released in 2019, that had 6 songs on it. And then kind of, I really have just been, unfortunately not allowed to move to Nashville. Mm-hmm. My ex-husband specifically had written in our parenting plan that Nashville is off the table. So I was a single mom at the time and couldn't continue fighting. I had like $200,000 in attorney fees because I was fighting.
Right.
And then I just was like, I can't fight anymore. So, okay, I will sign it and it is what it is. And so that has honestly been very detrimental to like being signed by a label and all of that. So I have just, since my EP in 2019, continue to write music, continue to release music, play shows, tour. I signed with a distribution agency a few years ago, and then also a booking agency out of Nashville. So have an amazing booking agent and an amazing distribution company that helps me release my music. And I'm just touring and doing my thing. And at this point, I don't even know if I would sign with a label, even if that were on the table, because it is so... it's such a small chance that anything's going to happen. I have a very good friend that's signed and has been signed for 3 years, and she's one of the most incredible artists. Like, her voice is insane. She's like Leanne Womack and Alison Krauss had a baby, and her voice is just amazing, and they're
so
just not
good.
Taking her to radio. Like, and it's so hard to watch because I feel like where I'm at, I'm making a living doing what I love.
And yes. I was going to say, despite the divorce decree and whatever the intention was behind that, it doesn't sound like he's stopping you.
He's from, not.
And I like that. I mean, it's like the little girl in
that.
Pink at an elementary
it.
School, you know, just.
She's still going.
Watch me. Watch me.
I mean, I see that girl that like he, I mean, even when the boys were younger and I was fighting for just like their safety. And he called CPS on me and my husband multiple times just to cause problems.
Drama.
And actually the week before King of Legoland was released, the song about Caden, he filed a restraining order so that I wasn't able to have him on release day. And just a lot of like really damaging things. And I look at that, the day that I got them back, I went, to his front door, and he followed me out to the car and was like, when are you going to give it up and actually focus on your kids and realize that you're not going to be a country singer? Like, no one gives a crap about you or your music. You need to focus on the kids. And I just put the kids in the car. I shut the door and I was like, you're never going to stop me from doing what I want to do.
Wow.
Like, you're just not. And I look at that person who like let him just like treat her terribly when she was just, you know, 20 years old.
And so young. Yeah.
Make fun of her. And like, when I would cry, he would, you know, just be like, oh, you know, so sad. Like, just
like delight in it or yeah. Make fun of you. Yeah.
Yeah. And I have overcome that and continue to overcome every single thing he's thrown my way. And it just continues to get more and more, you know, like shining light on not that, but just like
not that, just not letting it break your spirit. Like,
it didn't. And I think that's where the full circle with Trash Day has really come around.
Yes.
It's like, these bullies are like giving me like redemption for every other person in my life that ever made me feel like I was less than. And it's like my way of being like, no, like no matter what
you're not,
said, you're not hurting my feelings. Like, and you're not going to get to my kids. And it genuinely at this point, and I don't like, I'm sure you guys kind of feel the same way. Like, it doesn't affect me anymore. Like the comments,
right?
Really, like I look at their page, and I'm even if it's like a page that's completely troll account where you can't even see a profile picture, or anything. It's like if I heard this once, and it like changed my life. If I wouldn't go to this person for advice,
mm-hmm.
then I'm not gonna care about their comment.
Yep, love it, love
like,
it.
If it's not like the Dalai Lama.
Yeah.
Something equal, which they wouldn't because they're not that kind of person. I don't, it's not going to affect me.
Their opinions don't matter.
They just don't matter.
Brittany, absolutely. I feel like we've got something in common in that. Like, I was a single mom for 5 years with my 4 kids. It's stressful. It's daunting, financially straining, everything, just everything. It was some of the toughest years of my life, but I do think it's like a diamond shines after it's fired, right? And mm-hmm. you obviously are remarried and you have a daughter. And so, and I'm remarried. And I do think it takes a very special man to, because I remember when I was divorced going, okay, I knew I wanted a chance at being a wife again. I knew I could be a good one. And I remember thinking, who's going to want to be a part of this shit show? You know, that I'm running, you know, I was just going to paint red and white stripes on my roof because it was a circus tent. I was like, this is crazy. And then you meet somebody and you find them. So tell us about your current husband.
Yes. Oh, he's like the love of my life. Actually, it's so funny. I had a dream last night that we were on Love Island. I texted him this morning. I was like, I'm so mad at you. Like, you were
kissing. What were you thinking?
He is literally my best friend. Like, we've been married 10 years in January. And he like walked into my life. And I remember we met through mutual friends. I invited him to a show one night. And I was intoxicated when I met him. And actually, the song I just released called Sober.
Romantically and, you know.
Yeah. About, which, like, I wish I had been sober when we met, because like I wish I remembered every single minute of that night, because it was like the beginning of our forever.
Oh,
you know.
Oh, I love that.
And but I was in the radio station's trailer. The show was sold out. I was opening for a band called Love and Theft.
Love Yeah.
And yeah, they were great. But we were in the radio station's trailer. He was texting me like, it's sold out. I'm just going to head out. And I like wasn't around my phone, and finally saw his message. He had waited in the parking lot for 30 minutes waiting for me to respond. I was like, you don't need a ticket. Like, you can just come in with me. So he did. And the second I opened the trailer to like let him in, I looked at my best friend and I was like, that's it. I'm done. Like, he has
I'm marrying
his eyes.
This is like, it. This is
my husband. Mm-hmm. He was going through a divorce with very similar stories. His wife was unfaithful to him many, many times. And so we just connected on that level. And he actually that was on a Friday night. And the next night I took my kids to the beach in Oregon for Easter, and was talking to him on the phone. I was putting the kids to bed and I was like, just a second, like I need, you know, say goodnight to the boys. And Caden said, my oldest said to me, Mommy, what do you get an Easter basket? Does the Easter bunny bring you an Easter basket? And I was like, oh no, guys don't get Easter presents. But that's okay because I love seeing you guys get to open yours, you know, the whole thing. Got back on the phone the next morning. I had forgotten because I was drunk that he grew up in the town that I was staying in that weekend at the beach.
Okay.
Coastal town. So he was coming to Seaside, Oregon, on Easter Sunday to spend Easter with his family. And so he called me and he was like, hey, like, I know your boys are with you. Like, I don't, obviously, like, we just met on that Friday and it's Sunday. And he was like, obviously, like, want to respect, like, not meeting your kids, but like, I have something for you that I want to drop off. And I was like, okay. Like, so I let him in. Like, I was at my friend's condo at this point and met him around the corner and he had this massive bouquet of flowers. And he was like, don't ever say that mommies don't get Easter presents.
Okay. What is this man's name?
Okay. Yeah.
This is the best part. His name is Matt, and my ex-husband's name is also Matt.
I remember hearing you talk about that in one of your videos. I was like, oh, shit, no way.
I was like, no. But he walked in quickly. Caden walked up and shook his hand.
I love it.
As he does. He's so, like, Nick, proper.
And but also your little protector a little bit.
Yes.
Hudson just jumped in his arms and then, like, I don't know, a week later, he came over and Hudson was wearing his Elsa dress and, like, played out. And I was like, okay, let's see how this goes, you know?
Right. Yep. Let's see how he reacts. Yeah.
He's like, hey, buddy, come here. Because he's a baseball player. At the time, he was doing baseball coaching. And he's like, hey, buddy, come here. And he's like, turn around. And he's like, it's not zipped right. And he, like, fixed the back and then, like, just sent him on his way.
Sent him off.
Oh, God. Thank God.
What a good man.
Yeah.
Oh, I love that for you, Brittany. That is so amazing. Brittany, seriously, like, I loved you before, but now, like, what I just love about doing the podcast. Like, when you really, like, you see somebody online and you think they're beautiful and you think they're cool and you respect their talent, but then you hear their story. And you're like, this is a bad bitch right here. She has been through some stuff. I mean, seriously.
I really do, but
you need to.
So my kids are 18, obviously, until I'm completely done with their dad. But there's, it's honestly, it's been, I felt like I was living in a nightmare for a really long time. And, you know, I feel super sad for my boys because they have so much, like, trauma that they've carried, look through. And Caden, especially my autistic son, like, I'm sure you guys can maybe relate, like, he really struggles with relationships as far as, like, romantic relationships. He lets anyone cling to him and he wants to fix them, and it becomes very not positive relationships, and, like, it's a lot of online relationships because he feels less than. And so there's just a lot of stuff that both of them have to work through. Hudson is, he's an incredible kiddo. He's very, I think, like, I'm going to let him tell his story when he's ready, but just a beautiful dancer and incredible human that is, has been a certain way since he was very little and has been told that's not a way to live. And
he's just uniquely Hudson.
And I have always just listened and not tried to impression anything other than let's stop labeling it and just be who you are. And I actually wrote a song for him called Whoever You Are, because there's just so many labels, you know, out there now.
Yeah.
And I just want him to be himself. And
well, you're a good mom, Brittany.
I'm gonna write a book and put it all out there.
And you are a good mom. You are a good mom. I love it.
And Brittany, just so you know, I've been doing the blended family thing for 14 years now. And I had four. He has two. And it's not a garden path of hearts and flowers. I can promise you, we look back now and we go, like, just for last weekend, we were at Parker McCollum and we were just like, we blended this cast of characters and it's working now. But it took a while. And I mean, we still aren't perfect, but I just want to give you some hope and lift you up and say, you know, and you're kind of in the thick of those late teen years, especially with our sons with disabilities, like, you know, autism.
They bloom even later, sure.
You're 18, but you're probably more like middle schoolish with some of the maybe emotional intelligence or whatever it may be. And Connor's probably like 18-ish now, you know, when he's 27. Yeah, so all of this to say, you know, chin up. I think you're doing so much better than you give yourself credit for. I am just glad to know you now. And if I can ever be a big sis to you, because
I want to come hang out with you guys.
Yes, you need to.
Atlanta. We love music here.
We'll come. We need to come see a show is what we need to do.
Yeah. But anyway, I'll
make a girls' weekend.
But you, young lady, because I feel like you're a little sis.
Yes, you don't know this.
You've inspired us. You ready, Nikki?
I'm ready.
Wait. We want to start a new bit on the show because of you.
Because of Trash Tuesday, because of you.
Yeah, you, yes. Brittany Kellogg, has inspired. And we've decided we're going to call, we want to drink some Haterade. Are you thirsty, Nikki?
Yes, I'm thirsty.
Okay, let's get our Haterade.
So we're going to start drinking some Haterade.
I can't. I love this so much. To you, babe. Except I got a confession to make.
Oh, yeah, you're not going to like this, Brittany.
Brittany, you're not going to. I couldn't find Red Vines. I'm drinking a Twizzler. Oh, come on. No. What's your beef with a Twizzler?
Does it even become a straw? It's like,
no, look, I got nothing. I got nothing. Nikki, are you drinking yours?
Yes, I'm getting a little bit.
I got nothing.
My red vine.
I was sitting here going, you be a straw. What the hell? But anyway, this is for you.
Oh, my God. This is for you. Are we going to debut our segment?
We are
going to
debut drinking Haterade, and we have a comment.
Now we just wanted to share with the world.
Yeah, we did not super sleuth it because it was hard. First of all, how do you super sleuth on YouTube? You're going to have to teach us.
We need a lesson. We need like a separate Zoom call. Teach us how to sleuth.
Do we do that, or wait, are we going to get a lawyer's letter?
Honestly, I will tell you what my lawyer told me. And the one, this is funny, the one email that I got was from her tax attorney. I'm like, first of all, if you have a tax attorney, we have a bigger problem. And second of all, like, I'm not doing anything from a tax attorney. And so I reached out to my entertainment attorney that I have.
Yeah.
It's amazing and works with all the big country artists. She was like, you're doing nothing other than saying what they said. So
you're putting it on a public forum. So on that note, this is from one of our episodes. This is, first of all, the level of ignorance of this comment. But let's just say it's Ella 1 month ago said, I would be autistic too if my moms were as insufferable as these two. What? What do you think about that, Brittany?
We created that.
What do we get? Exactly. We need help sleeping her.
Take a little sip. Take a
little. I can't even drink from my Twizzler.
Take a little sip.
I actually did a trash day. So I'm going to find her, but I did a trash. Somebody actually said, like, your poor son, you made him gay. And I was like,
oh, Brittany, well, that makes me want to.
First of all, like, I'm very careful with that because.
Right.
Yeah.
If he wants to tell his story someday, he can. But I'm like, just don't make.
Anybody, anything. Yeah.
And the fact that this person would say they would choose that because of us, I don't know. Anyway, so that was our first Haterade installment.
Tell me how to create an autistic son.
Exactly. Well, and what I would want to say to this person is take a look at our two autistic sons. They're kind of killing it, actually.
And they're pretty cool.
They are killing it.
They're two of the nicest, happiest, most non-judgmental, most real people I've ever met. So, come to think of it.
We should all be so.
You might want to be autistic like them. You might enjoy it.
I mean, what a beautiful life to live. I Caden will go to his psychiatrist and he's like, on a scale of 0 to 10, like, how depressed are you? And he's like, -2. He's like, I love my life. Like, he's just so happy.
10 or 10. About it. Let's have a good time with it. And if they're going to put it on a public forum, bring it out.
Ella S1J9Z. Don't let the door hit you in the ass on the way. Bye. Go. Just to kind of wrap up here, what does the future hold for you, Brittany? Tell us what we can look forward to. You've got a follower for life with this girl.
Yes.
So what can we look forward to?
Yeah. So releasing new music. I have two more songs coming this year. One of which is, and no one knows this yet, so I'm debuting it here.
Okay, I'm love
it. Sing a song about haters called "Sun Don't Shine," and basically the hook is "Stick it where the sun don't shine."
Okay, love it. Of you.
I have an amazing co-artist on the song called Gretchen Wilson. So it's going to be very fun. Yes. And my favorite line in the whole song, Gretchen sings, and it says, "You catch a few flies when you're the shit."
Oh my God! I'm dying! That is so good.
So glad you're in our world now, Brittany. Oh, thank you.
Lots of trash days to come. Honestly, just like fun content and, you know, seeing where Caden goes the next few years. The goal is driver's license and pilot school. So
listen, you are gonna make it happen because you've
made everything really else happen.
Just keep rising to the top. So don't even worry about it. Brittany, thank you.
Thank you
so much for just agreeing to be on, working around your sweet, sick baby girl. I hope she feels better and go get all the snuggles. And really, thanks for taking the hour away from her to be with us. We appreciate you. And I know your story's touched somebody today.
It's been so neat to learn more about you, Brittany. Thank you for taking the time.
Thank you guys so much.
Girl, what a fun conversation.
She's the best. She's the best. That was so much fun.
She's left me feeling trashy.
I am proud to be trashy. Loved
we
it.
Hope you enjoyed listening to Brittany as much as we enjoyed having her. And honestly, y'all need to follow her for Trash Tuesday. It's a game changer.
Absolutely. And so much more. Great music, great laughs, great tips. She has so much to offer. So give her a follow and enjoy.
And just know I will be a Twizzler girl for life.
Okay. I love it. I love it. And we want all of you to get excited for next week's episode. We are having some very special guests. They are sisters, they are authors, and they are world changers. We are going to talk about the book that they have written together, and it has more lessons than I can count within it. And it was very moving for me. It made me really stop and think about my own life and about how much I am grateful for my life and how much I'm investing into other people. So I think it's going to be a really, really meaningful and impactful conversation. So do not forget to show up and tune in next week because it's going to be a good one.
You may want to have a tissue or two.
You might.
But more importantly, if you guys could remember to like, subscribe, share, follow, even write us a review. It helps us more than you know. And tell your friends, tell your neighbors, tell your mom, tell your dad. All about us. Talk to me, sis. Just help us build our community. We're glad you're here and we want to invite more people in. And more importantly, like we always say,
you know that we
love you mean it.
Have a great week, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.
Pioneer.